In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Christ is risen. Come see a man which told me all things that I ever did. Is this not the Christ? In today's gospel, what we see is a story of a conversion. St. John tells us in the gospel today of a brief encounter between our Lord Jesus Christ and a woman, a Samaritan woman, at the well of Jacob in a little city called Sychar, just outside of Samaria. The gospel shows us the purpose of the incarnation of Jesus Christ, the reason that God became man, and that is to bring salvation to those who are lost, especially to those who are lost. I've been to a lot of baseball games this week, and I think I had baseball on the brain when I was preparing this sermon, because I began to see the Samaritan woman today in terms of baseball. I begin to see her as someone, as a batter who came up in the bottom of the ninth inning with two outs when they were behind, and when she came to bat, she was already had two strikes against her. And Christ, being the pitcher, throws her several fastballs, which the best thing she can do is foul them off. She fouled off one, two, three questions. And finally, after enduring all those fastballs, Christ throws her a hanging curveball right across the heart of the plate, and she knocks it out of the park. She knocks it out of the park, wins the game both for herself and for her teammates, as we will see a little bit later. But if the Lord had gone by conventional tradition of the time, this conversation would never have taken place, because the first strike that she had against her was that she was a woman. And an observant Jew would never speak to a woman in public, especially to a woman he didn't know, especially to a stranger. And that brings us to strike two that she had against her already, and that was that she was a Samaritan. Samaria was the capital province of the northern kingdom of Israel. After King David died and his son Solomon took over, there was a split in the empire. The ten tribes out of the 12 split and formed what was known the northern kingdom of Israel. And the other two tribes, the tribes of Judah and Benjamin, founded what was to be called the southern kingdom of Judea. And that's where Christ was from. And that's where most of the Jews lived. Not long after this split occurred, about 700 years before Christ, the northern kingdom was defeated in war by the king of Assyria, and most of them were sent off into exile in places like Babylon. And there they intermarried with idolaters, with Gentiles, with heathens, and they were assimilated, and then the king of Assyria sent them back to Samaria. They considered themselves to be children of Israel, or children of Abraham, excuse me, but not necessarily Jews. They kept the first five books of the Old Testament, the Pentateuch, but that was all. They didn't keep the prophets or the Psalms or anything like that. And at the same time they did that, they also worshipped idols, which is why this woman was so shocked when Jesus, a man she recognized immediately as being a Jew, asked her for a drink of water. There was a mutual hatred between Samaritans and Jews. It was common for Jews even to call them openly to their face Gentile heathen dogs, and following that with a spit. Gentile heathen dogs. A common saying also among the Jews was to say, "May I never set my eyes on a Samaritan today." They would say that as they got up. That was the hatred that they had for them. Even if they had no chances of seeing a Samaritan, they would say that. And were they to come across one, they would literally shield their eyes because they hated them so much. And the feeling was somewhat mutual, maybe not quite so bad on the side of the Samaritans, but it was mutual. And we see this in her response to Jesus today in the gospel. I think the words of the gospel don't quite give us the significance of her response. It kind of cleans it up a little bit when she says, "How is it that you, a Jew, ask drink of me, a Samaritan and a woman?" It more likely sounded something like this: "You Jew, how dare you speak to me, a Samaritan woman? You Jew." Same spit. They also had the same spit. They all like to spit. "Jews have no dealings with Samaritans," they said. But Jesus did not take offense to what she says. And he tells her, if you knew the gift of God and who it was that was speaking to you, you would ask me for a drink and I would give you living water. Notice, says St. John Chrysostom, how hearing about this living water raises her notion of him as more than a Jew and a common man, and she begins to call him sir, or as St. John Chrysostom says, Lord. But the King James says today, sir. She says to him, sir, you don't even have anything to draw water with, and you ask me for a drink. St. Augustine points out in one of his sermons on this gospel that the hatred of the Jews for the Samaritans was so deep that no Jew would ever use a utensil that was used by a Samaritan, much less a cup, drink out of the same cup. But she, having heard Jesus speak of this living water, softened up a little bit, and little by little he revealed himself to her. And so she begins to call him not Jew with a spit, but she calls him sir the next three times she addresses him. And as he offers her a better water than what she was drinking from Jacob's well, she seeks to know whether he was greater than the prophet Jacob himself, or the patriarch Jacob himself. And he says, St. John Chrysostom says, notice how gentle Christ was with her. Knowing that she revered the patriarch Jacob, he goes on to tell her that his living water will quench her thirst forever. She don't quite understand what he's saying, that he's speaking spiritually, that this water will quench not a spiritual, a physical thirst, but her spiritual thirst, and it will well up within her, offering everlasting life. When Jesus said this, he was fulfilling the prophecy of Isaiah, who said that my people will draw water with gladness from the fountain of salvation. She calls him sir for the last time when she begins to beg him, sir, give me some of this water so I don't have to come here every day and try to get water out of this well. She still didn't understand it. But now Christ really begins to reveal himself to her. Go get your husband. I have no husband. You're right. You don't have a husband. You've had five husbands, and the man that you're living in sin with right now is not your husband. Now she could have been put off by this. You know she was stunned by hearing the revelation of her darkest secrets, her darkest sins, by this man she didn't even know. But rather than run off, she begins to call him something else. She first called him Jew, then sir, Lord, now she calls him prophet. I perceive that you are a prophet. And St. John Chrysostom says she doesn't begin to ask him about worldly things now. She asks him about doctrine, doctrinal issues. She wants to know about true worship, dare I say orthodox worship. She asks him, where is true worship? On Mount Gerizim, as we Samaritans say, which was the mountain where Abraham was about to sacrifice Isaac, and God spoke directly to him there. Or is it in Jerusalem, where you Jews have the temple, and you say that God dwells there? Jesus tells her that salvation will come from the Jews, but soon, foretelling the coming of the Holy Spirit, which is this living water that he is talking about, he says, all men will worship everywhere. All men, underline all. All men will be able to worship God who is a spirit, in spirit and in truth. Now she shows, as St. John Chrysostom goes on to tell us, that she, although she had all these strikes against her, being an adulterer, a Samaritan, and a woman, she was spiritually far ahead of the priests and elders of the Jews. And she, right at that moment, is on the verge of calling him Messiah. I know that the Messiah will come, she says, and he will tell us all truth. Then Jesus, for the very first time in his entire life, openly says to someone that he is the Messiah. I, who am speaking to you, am he. I am the Messiah. He revealed that not to the Jews, not to the high priests, not to the Pharisees, not to the scribes or the elders. He didn't even reveal it to the apostles. He revealed that he was the Messiah of the world to a Samaritan, adulterous woman. And in so doing, Christ was truly showing the purpose of his mission, the purpose of his kingdom, his church, that it was to be open to everyone, even the lowest sinner. And thus, he fulfilled the prophecy, another prophecy of Isaiah, where Isaiah said, I will turn from the Hebrews and I will make the Gentiles mine. He fulfilled that prophecy. And on hearing this proclamation that he was the Messiah, she wasted no time at all in becoming the first evangelist. She put down her water pot and she forgot her thirst, thus proving that the living water does really quench thirst. And she runs off to her own city and tells the men of that village, come and see the man who just told me everything I ever did. Is this man not the Christ? See how it was that she progressed in her conversion. We see that in just the word she used to call Christ. First she said Jew with a spit. Then she called him sir, Lord. Then prophet, then Messiah. And here finally she calls him the Christ. Is this not the Christ? And finally, after going and evangelizing her own little city, her own little town, she leads others back to listen to Christ, and then they proclaim with her exactly what he is. That he is the Christ, the Savior of the world. She has gone from Jew, sir, prophet, Messiah, Christ, and now Savior. That was her conversion. And all this took place, St. John says in the Gospel today, at the sixth hour. How could we not notice, St. Augustine says, that it was at this same hour of the day, the sixth hour, that Christ was crucified, and as he himself would prophesy, as he was lifted up, he would draw all men to himself. It was at the sixth hour that he drew his first Gentile converts to himself and revealed to them that he was the Messiah. This is the beginning of the church before Pentecost in seed form. And in the Acts of the Apostles today, in our epistle that we read, we see the disciples for the first time preaching the gospel to the Gentiles in the city of Antioch, where they would first, for the first time in the world, hear the word Christian. The disciples were first called Christians in Antioch, we heard this morning. The Lord had yet to send his Holy Spirit. We're still waiting for that. The living water, which he speaks of, had not come to his disciples. But just as he had several times to his disciples breathed on them and told them to receive a little bit of the Holy Spirit, so too today he gave a little of the Holy Spirit to the Samaritan woman. He gave her a glimpse of that living water which would come completely on Pentecost Day with the coming of the Holy Spirit. And she became a great saint. She wasted no time at all. She became known to us today as Saint Photinie. We see her in the icon there of the Samaritan woman today. She first went down into Africa with her five children from those five different husbands. They all became Christians. They all began to spread the gospel. She even went back into the Roman Empire, all the way to Rome itself, and spoke to the Emperor Nero, the crazy man. She even spoke to him about the gospel of Christ, and he immediately put to death all of her children, and he tried to put her to death as well, but it just seemed that he couldn't kill her. I read that there was a list of 5, 6, 7, 8 tortures that he put upon her, and she would not die, and she was even getting upset that she wouldn't die, that there was something wrong with her, that her children got to be martyrs, but that she wasn't. And finally, he threw her into a dry well, think about that, she'd been hearing about living water. He throws her into a dry well, and it was there that the Lord finally brought her to himself, where their living water truly abides and flows unto life everlasting. She is a beautiful story of conversion, which should inspire us, my brothers and sisters, to renew our own conversion as we prepare for Pentecost in a few weeks. And as the Kentuckian says, to forever drink freely of the living water of wisdom, and to receive the kingdom from on high. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Christ is risen.
He is risen.